It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob, here with you on Community Radio Station 3CR, and this is a Friday Rave. Yep, that's right, it's Friday and it's 5 o'clock. And that means you're listening, if indeed you are listening at all, to Community Radio, Radical Radio 3CR. Broadcasting at you on 855 kilohertz on your Melbourne AM dial, through 3CR Digital, through all the W's at 3cr.org.au, or on your favourite podcast client. And I'm back in the studio on Smith Street today after a prolonged stay in Sydney. Drove back down yesterday and ready to get back into doing stuff. But first of all, I've got to say thanks to James from In Your Face for another excellent show. But anyway, buy stuff. What do I mean? I mean, of course, helping the various rallies and actions taking place around Melbourne, but also getting back into a Friday rave. As I've said in previous weeks, Radiothon is coming up next month. Is it next month? Is it June yet? No, it's the last day of May. Coming up next month in June. And June the 14th is the day slated for a Friday Raves Radiothon show. So, as I've said before, part of that will be somewhat of a relaunch of a Friday Rave, so stay tuned and get your shackles ready. Okay, so Radiothon's coming up next month, so I guess I'd better play you this.
Three CR's annual Radiothon fundraiser launches in June.
We'll be asking for your donations to support the incredible array of local programming that goes to air every week.
Your support during Radiothon keeps the station radical and enables us to give voice to hundreds of people and issues for another year.
All donations over $2 are tax deductible.
3CR Radiothon, show your support during June 2024.
3CR. Sound on for solidarity.
But anyway, coming into the studio this afternoon, wondering what the hell I was going to talk about, the first bit of news that caught my attention, I've got to say on my newsfeed, was that KBR have been awarded the contract to provide concept-to-design services for the new nuclear-powered submarine construction yard at Osborne, up there at the end of the northwest of Adelaide, up past Port Adelaide there. Now, this comes on top of KBR's contracts to deliver infrastructure design for the other submarine base, Stirling, HMAS Stirling Base on Garden Island, just off the coast of Perth. And, of course, they've got plenty of work in overseeing parts of the militarisation of the top end. Now, I'll leave that one aside for now. Regular listeners will be aware of my position on the AUKUS submarines, on the whole AUKUS fiasco, in fact. But I particularly refer to my belief that the whole submarine production thing is nothing but a scam, aimed at getting things like nuclear sub visits and home porting and all the rest of it in through the back door, the kind of things they've been trying to do that they haven't been able to do up front. And you understand, they always do this kind of thing. They say they're going to do one thing and then do the other, and they give contracts out to various nasty companies, but KBR, for Christ's sake, Kellogg Brown and Root, just got to be one of the nastiest and evilest companies in the world. And you know me, I look at companies, I look deep down into the history and the makeup and the contracts of companies, and KBR have got to be one of the worst. I mean, I still insist that BAE Systems I'd give the award to are the evilest, nastiest company in the world, but KBR, probably the evilest, nastiest company coming out of the US anyway, even more so than, you know, Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin. But anyway, Kellogg Brown and Root have been synonymous with corporate military corruption since the end of the Second World War. Well, Kellogg, Brown Brothers and Brown and Root, even before they were KBR, but they've been synonymous with military corruption. And they've been involved if not in most, at least a fair whack of the scandals that have plagued US military contracting in recent years. I reckon I can say probably more than any other single company. They were one of the first corporations that benefited from outsourcing military services. You know, back at, and they've always... Oh, have they fucked it up? No, they haven't. They've made profits for themselves and for their military mates, and they've delivered things that have got their preferred candidates into government. I mean, you know, they were... Brown and Root were Lyndon B. Johnson's big campaign donators back in the day. But anyway, back in the Vietnam War days, US soldiers who were there... not only fighting a terrible, nasty, illegal war that a lot of them didn't want to be at, but plagued by insufficient services from the corporations that were supposed to be providing for them, the Vietnam soldier, American Vietnam soldiers, used to call Brown and Root kill and loot. And they're still at it. You know, whether you're talking Guantanamo Bay, taking over the Iraqi oilfield production, providing soldiers with defective materials in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, part of the shit that went down at Abu Ghraib, human trafficking of Nepalese workers, numerous sexual assault allegations, illegal dumping of toxic materials, stranding workers in Diego Garcia. Where can I stop? Even just straight out not paying bills, to the point where even the UK government had to remove them from their list of suppliers. Because, you know, after all, rape and pillage are fine, but you gotta pay your bills. That's what got them off the list. But anyway, once KBR, Kellogg, Brown, Root, Kill and Loot are involved in anything, you know there's going to be theft and corruption on a scale that only private equity military contracting firms can come up with. But, you know, it's not just, I've got to say, it's not just, or not even really, that mobs like KBR, you know, just do this shit to make themselves a bigger profit, or that's a part of it. But to buy into that, you buy into the bad apple model of military corruption. But they're not bad apples. They do what needs to be done for the preservation and expansion of the global rules-based order. That is their role. That is the role of the military. And KBR are in the thick of it, in the centre of it all. They do whatever needs to be done, the kind of things that governments can't do in their own name. So be ready for the news. It's going to come out of Osborne or Stirling. Sometime, I don't know, probably in about 5 years, that the sub-building project won't go ahead because of the stuff-ups in the administration, because of the cost overruns, because of the shortfalls, because of changes of government, because of changes of priorities, because of changes in US policy, because of whatever, because, blah, blah, blah. But on the positive side, we can salvage the costs that we've sunk into it so far to do things like provide facilities for US and UK subfleet visits and probably home porting, in fact. And, you know, quite likely the acceptance of spent nuclear fuel to be transported to a facility somewhere in northern South Australia. You know, the home porting, the ship visits, the projecting of US and UK of AUKUS, of global rules-based order military force, into the region is what AUKUS is about. And while I think that if you want to stuff it up completely and know that that you'll get what you want to get out of it, but you can't say what you want to get out of it, but you'll get it out anyway, you can think of no better firm than Kill and Loot to look after the process for you. Anyway, what more can I say? Now, I've got to say, the protest rallies in support of a free Palestine continue to take place around the country and around the world, including the Sunday rallies at Melbourne State Library. But I hate to say it, but I have to admit the truth, they are getting smaller. I know you've gone to many of them. I know you went every week to start with. I know you're getting tired. I know it's getting cold here in Melbourne. And going to a rally in June is a whole different commitment in Melbourne to going to a rally in January. But friends and other listeners, it's important that we keep the pressure up now. If for no other reason than showing the Palestinian community, both here and in Palestine, that we stand with them, that they're not alone. Solidarity is important, but there is also another reason, another very pressing reason. And while I'm not going to go anywhere near as far as congratulating the Australian government, far from it, the fact is that we have to acknowledge that their line on unconditional support for the Zionist regime is wavering. Nowhere near enough. And the current ALP government should hang their heads in shame for all the lies, prevarications and outright support that they've, you know, given to the Zionist regime that has played, you know, its role internationally in enabling the genocide to take place in Palestine. And not to mention the weapon sales. But the fact is that some cracks have started to appear in the ranks of the Labor government and forced even the likes of Albanese and Penny Wong to not only be less than enthusiastic as they were only a couple of months ago, but to actually say a few words that almost, not quite, but almost, are critical of Israel. Now, the admittedly very, very small shift has come about by pressure from below. But it's not the size of the crack that's starting to appear. It's the fact that there is a crack at all. Size doesn't matter. You know, the likes of Albanese knew from day one, from October the 7th, what Israel's response would be, where it was heading. He was talking about Israeli war crimes in Palestine when he was a backbencher. He knows what's going on. He's taking the role, the position he's taking, not because he doesn't know, but because he made the political decision that it was in his and his government's best interests to dance to the tune of the US and Zionist lobbies here in Australia. And make no mistake, you know, the Zionist lobby and the Albanese government are very, very close. You only need to look at the makeup of the failed Council for the Indigenous Voice, but that's a whole nother story. But they know what's going on, but they decided to support Israel anyway. The fact that they're starting to see an electoral backlash, that no amount of US or Zionist funding and political power can counteract. You know, the cracks are appearing, and a big part of those cracks appearing is the fact that after more than 7 months, the rallies, the protests, the representations, the questions, the uni occupations and all the rest, the pressure has started to take effect. Starting with backbenchers who could no longer go out and look their constituents in the eye. And that filtering its way up ever so slowly. Not that I believe in a democratic process. But what I'm saying is, with such a corrupt and unreal democratic process in Australia, still the cracks are starting to take effect. Do you seriously think the government would have budged an iota, changed its line, no matter how small, no matter what happened in Gaza and Rafah, or what is happening, or what is yet to happen? They would not have changed their line or criticised Israel or even expressed concerns, as small as they have, if they didn't have the continued pressure on the streets. And that pressure going in through the Labor Party, in through the social organisations, in through the unions and the various, what would you call them, community organisations, up to the levels of government that need to make announcements. So it's more important today when there is a little crack. We've made that crack appear. Now we need to expand the crack. It's more important today than it was 6 months ago to make your feelings known, to get out there, to divest your super if you have any, to call, to email, to write to your local MP, to walk into your local MP's office, to walk into your university vice-chancellor's office and say stop supporting Israel, to call up your union and say start doing something, to ask your church what they're doing about something, to do anything you can, whether it's going to the rally or graffitiing Bill Shorten's office, whatever you can, to keep the pressure on the Australian government.
Stand in solidarity with Palestine this Sunday.
Hi, it's Nasser Mashni from Palestine Remembered, Australia's only dedicated show on Palestine. Join me every Saturday morning at 9:30, and very importantly, get along to our rallies. Sunday, 12 o'clock, State Library. Join us.
We have to mobilise to show our support for Palestine. 12 p.m, State Library, this Sunday.
Rally to demand freedom and justice for Palestine. No war on Gaza.
Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
Yep, Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter, and 3CR is a supporter of Palestinian people's wishes and aspirations for freedom from the river to the sea. So you need to get back out on the streets, people. Come rain or hail or high water. And this Sunday, as you said, 12 o'clock on the steps of the State Library. And you're listening to Community Radio, Radical Radio 3CR with me, Jacob, coming at you live for the first time in many weeks out of the studios on Smith Street with this week's Friday Rave.
You're listening to a Friday Rave on 3CR Community Radio, where Jacob is rabbiting on about some shit.
Listeners will remember how earlier this year, a deal was struck with the US and the UK to remove the need for red tape when transferring arms between the three AUKUS amigos. So in other news that caught my eye this afternoon as I got into the studio, it may go unnoticed and unremarked on by most folks who aren't primarily concerned with Australia's burgeoning arms industry. Armaments, military parts, all sorts of dual-use stuff, research, no longer needs the explicit government approval, or by the looks of it, even oversight to transfer weapons to the US and UK. That was part of the AUKUS, one of the legislations that was pushed through for AUKUS. We can just transfer stuff without reporting on it to anyone. And, you know, and deals have been made in the other countries as well. In the US, I think it was last month, might have been the month before, made the decision that any parts, any weapons or weapons parts, or dual-use materials or critical minerals or the rest, coming from or going to Australia, can be classified as a domestic transfer, as if, technically, we were just another US state. And no, I'm not doing the old lefty rhetoric here that Australia is the 51st state. Back in the day, I used to argue with a Canadian mate of mine about who should get that title. But I'm actually talking legalities here. All weapons transfers from Australia, particularly parts used to make the larger weapons platforms, warships, submarines, missile launchers, aeroplanes, and, you know, raw materials, things like critical minerals, lithium and the like, they're all treated by the United States as internal domestic supplies. Can you believe that? That is what is happening here. Anyhow, news today, or yesterday at least, I was driving back to town and didn't see it until this arvo, is that the Australian military production industry has adopted the United Kingdom's JOSCAR system, J-O-S-C-A-R, to streamline parts and service supply for the prime military companies. It stands for Joint Supply Chain Accreditation Register and was developed by and will be administered by a mob called Helios. Now, Helios aren't a straight-up defence company. They're an information and risk management company operating out of the UK. Before coming up with JOSCAR, they'd primarily work with banks and insurance and other financial mobs to store info and provide information and supply chain, I guess. Even the financiers have supply chains and solutions to transfers, and also, importantly, an agreed understanding on standards and legalities. Now, I can hear you all saying, what the fuck does that mean? In a nutshell, today's financial markets are so complex that different institutions have a hard time keeping up the information they need to ensure they're staying within the law, firstly. And also, there are so many financial institutions starting up, winding up, merging, divesting, that no one can keep up with who's who in the bloody zoo. So rather than each mob keeping right up to date on this, they subcontract the information and retrieval and referral to Helios. And through Helios, they can also agree on a common interpretation of what the laws allow and what the laws forbid them, which means that Helios agrees. Now, the same can be said of the military-industrial complex. The acquisitions, divestments, start-ups, joint projects, amalgamations, and the changing legal frameworks that govern them all have created nightmares for the major defence contractors, what we call the primes. You know, they need to know what small local companies exist to supply the various parts, everything from, you know, O-rings to paints and research facilities. They need to put their parts together and develop new parts. So Helios come in and provide a database of every small company in Australia that wants to sell its product to the only game in town, the military industrial complex. See, so say for argument's sake that Saab or Boeing or Elba or Thales or whoever need to find a supplier for, I don't know, a ceramic washer. Rather than put out tenders or look up their suppliers' catalogues, they will just need to ask Helios, who'll be able to tell them not only who can provide it, but suggest preferred suppliers based on a range of criteria, which are, after all, or will be, commercial in confidence. So they then become not just an information services, but a middleman. You know, their database will obviously include things like what accreditation? This is, after all, primarily they're selling it as an accreditation platform. And these accreditations are becoming increasingly important as you become further integrated into the AUKUS nuclear military. But also, no doubt, it'll include other information which may not be entirely compliant with a raft of, you know, non-discriminatory laws. How much can a company bugger up? How much can a company provide funding to this organisation? How much can they do, you know, have they contributed to this or that political party? What kind of criteria will be used for Helios to put, I don't know, Saab in touch with this gasket company as opposed to that gasket company? We'll never know because it's all be commercial in confidence. Now, this is great news for the primes because they no longer need to research their supply network and they can distance themselves in the eventuality that a scandal comes up. That, you know, the materials they're using to get their critical minerals have done something like bloody they did up at up in Broome, desecrating sacred sites, or, you know, they're getting stuff that's using child labour in India or Bangladesh, who knows? They're placing a barrier between themselves and their suppliers, and they're giving another organisation the role of not just recommending, we know how it works, recommending becomes pimping. Anyway, but as I say, for small companies that are not yet suppliers to the primes but would like to be, or if not like, at least understand that's where the work is, they will need to be registered with Helios Joscar to have any chance whatsoever of getting a gig in the industry. And in order to be listed by Joscar, they will need to provide a stack of information on their capabilities and accreditations, who they work with, what kind of, you know, internships they've got, what kind of foreign university research they work with, what their union concentration is, no doubt, all of it. And they'd be advised to seek particular accreditations. And it's not only companies, mind you. Joscar will also keep info on research facilities available to the military industrial complex. And that means, of course, our universities. So while it's just starting to be used here, Joscar will also keep info on research facilities, you know. Joscar here, as Helios calls it, Joscar AU. In the coming years, it's going to develop a database of every manufacturing facility, research facility, every metallurgical engineering service in the country. And then it will act as a pimp to the primes of the military industrial complex. Sort of like old King William's Doomsday Book of 1086. And like the Doomsday Book, while ostensibly established to document the current situation, it was in reality a control mechanism to ensure the conquest of England. But don't worry, I'm not going to give you my rather strange take on medieval British history here. Most importantly, though, Joscar will become an overseeing controller of the military manufacturing industry in Australia. And that's all I've got time for today. Next week, I reckon I'm going to address what is being spoken about more and more in the defence industry, and that's the whole of government approach to militarisation and defence. I've touched on it in various ways, my time here on a Friday Rave, but I reckon it's about time I put a few of the seemingly disparate parts together. Remember, come to the rally on Sunday. I've been Jacob. This has been a Friday Rave coming to you live out of the studios of 3CR Radical Radio on Smith Street. And I'll rave at you more next week.
To our fantastic audience, thanks so much for listening to Palestine Remembered. We're taking a break for Christmas. We'll be back on the air on the 21st of January. In the meantime, make sure you're safe, enjoy the break and the holidays, and wishing you and every friend of Palestine and 3CR the very best holiday break.
Sorry, NASA, but again, I've hit the wrong cart. What I mean to say is listen to Palestine Remembered on Saturday morning.